Ay bobo, ay bobo, ay bobo. Welcome to the Aguacerito podcast show, where we honor the divine, spark personal liberation, and deconstruct Haitian voodoo. I'm your host, Knowledge, also known as Konef Kife. Every episode is a digital offering to the sacred spirits, ancestors, and vibrant culture of Haitian voodoo. Through storytelling, interviews, and reflections, we will explore its roots, its power, and its impact. Voodoo is more than spirituality. It is life, legacy, and liberation.
Aïe, bobo voodoo!
Aïe, bobo!
Aïe, bobo voodoo!
Aïe, bobo!
Agasua domi wae!
To the Aguacerito podcast show. In today's episode, we are going to continue our conversation about comparing Haitian voodoo to other world religions across the globe. But before we get started with today's episode, let's take a moment to ground ourselves. And let's start with breath. So let's breathe together three times. Inhale serenity. Exhale fear. Inhale acceptance. Exhale doubt. Inhale love. Exhale uncertainty. Allow your breath to align with your heartbeat. Greetings to Almighty God. Thank you for the breath of life. Greetings to all of the divine saints and angels in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Greetings to the ancestral spirits in the east, west, north, and the south. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown. Greetings to the ancestral spirits of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, and beyond. both near and far. Greetings to you, our esteemed listeners. Thank you for the thread that connects us all as brothers and sisters on this earthly realm. Thank you for the moment to be in community with each and every one of you. We ask to enlighten and empower our listeners with love, wisdom, and knowledge. We ask to liberate our hearts and our minds in order to connect with the divine. We ask that whatever is needed from this episode be met. We ask that whatever guidance that needs to be shared is shared. We ask that whatever guidance that needs to be shared is understood in this episode. We also ask that whatever lessons needs to be learned, be learned. Aibo bo, ago ago, bo, alaso, asao, awoshenago, jabodo, afutai, bilolo, swakongo, kwa, sem, bo. In our last episode, we covered a lot of ground in comparing Haitian Vodou's theology and cosmology to those of other world religions. And there are so many parallels, so many similarities. I feel like we can fill up more than two episodes. I feel like we can actually probably do a whole season really deep diving into the comparisons across Haitian Vodou and other world religions. You know, Haitian Vodou has long been subjected to negative stereotypes. A lot of them fueled, honestly, by racism. A lot of them fueled by colonialism, fueled by religious bias, fueled by religious persecution, and fueled by really sensationalism. And these misconceptions have really distorted the public perceptions of Vodou. They have disrespected practitioners. They have disrespected the divinities themselves, and they really seek to obscure the true spiritual and cultural essence of this beautiful religion. And a lot of the work that we are doing at Agua Cirito is really reclaiming the power, reclaiming this beautiful faith tradition in all of its glory. And when we think about all the various different aspects of how this faith is, you know, is practiced and how it compares to other religions, I think it's really unfortunate that we even have to do an episode like this, that we have to take the time to say, hey, Haitian Vodou is just like any other religion. What a surprise. But that is where we are. That's the reality that many Vodouisans face. And I think, you know, for this specific episode, you know, I want to take some time to do some of the comparisons, really thinking about some of the stereotypes that are out there and helping to, again, reclaim that power. So we took some time in the last episode to really talk about kind of really basic theology, basic cosmology. In this episode, we really want to lean into some of the known, but also maybe not well known narratives that continue to, you know, really continue to impact the faith in a very real way. So one thing I want to just kind of highlight as to just to begin this conversation, you know, a lot of what I've mentioned to date was the fact that Haitian Vodou has been syncretized with a number of other practices as a means for survival. That is not without saying that Haitian Vodou was not the first religion that was forced into spiritual persecution. It was not the first. There are other religions across the world that were, you know, where practitioners were essentially forced to convert. Many of them being forced to convert to Christianity. And their practices, their, you know, these, you know, religious, their indigenous practices being mocked, being ridiculed, being forced towards erasure. So when we think about, the indigenous people in areas like Mesoamerica, when we think about the Aztecs, we think about the Mayan religions, we think about the Incas, we think about, you know, the within the Andes. A lot of the indigenous people in the Americas were forcibly baptized, and they were required to abandon their traditions or die, essentially. So things like, you know, practices like worshiping the sun or spirit ceremonies or shamanism was banned in many countries. And sacred sites were destroyed or repurposed as churches, many of them as Christian churches. And that is not just within the indigenous religions. We see this religious persecution as a means of imperialism, enforced dominance, enforced control in other regions across the world, in religions like Hinduism, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, other African traditional religions that face this level of persecution. So then sometimes you ask yourselves, well, if these others face this level of persecution, you know, how did Haitian Vodou, of all these religions, you know, really be cemented as like the bad guy, right? Like, how did it, of all these other religions that had these aspects of imperialism or forced conversion, why is it that Haitian Vodou continued to be perpetuated in this light? And I personally believe that it is because there's a compounded level of racism. So when you have a religious system that essentially was the linchpin to a revolution that ultimately beat the world powers of that era by enslaved Africans that were really not even considered human. They were really treated as second-class citizens. Many of them, not even second-class citizens, many of them weren't treated as human at all. So to have a faith that was practiced by these less than human beings and that were demonized and dehumanized, and for their faith practices to essentially allow them, without any riches, without any armor, without any, you know, military like resource or weaponry, to beat the powers, the great powers of essentially the world at an era, I believe there's a lot of power in that, and that power was feared. So much so that we continue to see the power of that continue to be reverberated, right? We continue to see that there's a constant reinforcement of this psychology, the psyche of wanting to demonize Haitian Vodou, unlike any other religion. And I truly believe because of that victory, that is why we continue to see this sense of, you know, demonization, this sense of attempts to delegitimize. But again, that is why we have this podcast, and I'm sure there's other types of education and learnings and the work that is not just me. There's other scholars, there's other communities, there's other practitioners that is doing the work to educate, to reclaim our power, Ai Bobo. So it's not just this podcast. There's many other efforts out there, but I wanna be able to talk about that resistance and how that impacted and shattered the world. I cannot wait. With having said that, that's kind of a PSA for our next episode, which we're going to start to delve into the specifics of the Haitian Revolution. I feel like I just gave you a little bit of a preview of what's to come. But okay, let me I kind of diverted a little bit, but let me go back. So again, Haitian Vodou, as a summary of that, of what I was just sharing, Haitian Vodou is not the first religion to have to have experienced forced conversion. For as much as the demonization that it's experienced and continued to be perpetuated, it is not the only one. Another stereotype that we continue to see, and I'm going to reclaim this in this moment, is the stereotype that we see and hear that, oh, you know, Haitian Vodou practitioners use dolls, and they're taking dolls and they're, you know, sticking them on dolls, and then, like, in a way that is a means of harming people. So let's talk about this for a moment. I have been a practitioner my whole life. I have never in my life seen anyone stick pins and needles into dolls. So I just want to be on the record saying that. Like, I have never seen that in my life, whether in waking or in, like, in the dream state. I've never seen that in action. I have, however, seen dolls used in the faith tradition. And what's interesting is that when we think about dolls and, let's say, figurines or effigies, depending on the faith, dolls are not just used in Haitian Vodou. Dolls are used in many other world religions and practices, and they're used as a symbolic, sometimes a ritualistic mean. So if we think about within Haitian Vodou, dolls and figurines are sometimes used as tangible representations of a loi. So sometimes you'll see, if you look at an altar, you'll sometimes see lois. They are represented either with a image, what's called an image, or which is like the lithograph or picture, or sometimes they're represented with a doll. And so they're typically represented, you know, they're tangible representations of lois. They're sometimes representations of individuals. Some families, they sometimes represent themselves on their altar, right, as a doll. And these are used in ceremonies. They're used to be placed on an altar as a way to invoke protection, as a way to invoke healing, and as a way to really act as conduits for spiritual energy and intent. So dolls are essentially, you see them adorned, you know, they may have certain colors that represent certain spirits, certain laws, or they have certain types of, like, jewelry on them. But it's really about, it's a symbolic representation. So are there dolls, are people sticking dolls with needles? Not in a Fuangina perspective, I have never seen that. I don't think that exists. Do dolls exist? Yes. However, dolls exist in other religions as a means of representation. So, for example, if we look at the Shinto practices within Japan, they use a doll that's called a hina. And the hina dolls are used to represent different kami or spirits, which we talked about in the last episode. And the dolls are kind of, you know, the dolls in Shinto, they are used to serve as vessels to carry away impurities or misfortunes, right, to help cleanse and protect individuals. And so essentially in the Shinto religion, just like in Vodou, you know, they use dolls as a symbolic tool, right, as a way of healing, as a way of protection. We see dolls being used in Buddhism, in Tibetan Buddhism. Some certain sects, not all, but in some of them, they use them. They're called tormaths. And tormaths are pretty much their ritual figurines that are made of flour and butter. And they can represent deities. They represent different spirits. And they're used to invoke blessings, remove negativity, and guide spiritual energies. We see within the Slavic practices, we see what's called the Matanka doll. And those dolls are sometimes used as, you know, they're created as talismans for protection, health, and prosperity. we see in Native Americans, in Native American spiritual practices, the Kashina doll within the Hopi and Pueblo tribes. They use dolls to represent spirits that govern various different aspects of life, similar to the how Haitian voodoo dolls are used, right, to represent different laws. They do that in those specific practices as well. If we take a look at, let's say, some of our sister diasporic religions, dolls are used in Santeria to represent different orishas. They're using Candomblé. They're used in Umbanda in Brazil, right? Again, with that similar thread and theme of representing the divine, but also as a means to channel with intent aspects of healing, aspects of protection, aspects of guidance. So Haitian voodoo is not the only religion that uses dolls. Another stereotype that we typically hear that, again, I have never seen in my life, but I wanna call it out for the record, is this idea that Haitian voodoo uses zombies or is in the practice of zombies. Again, from a Fuagina perspective, in my entire waking life, I have never seen a zombie. I've heard of the term, but I have never seen that in my waking life. So I cannot say at all that concept exists at all. And it does not. I think that is, again, just another perpetuated sensationalized narrative. But I did want to address it because, again, when people think about Haitian voodoo, those are some of the visuals that pop up in their mind. So I wanted to address that. So another like stereotype that we sometimes hear is this idea around, let's say, like, religion and Haitian voodoo, and they're talking about like animal sacrifice and that sort of thing. So I wanna address that as well here. So yes, in Haitian voodoo, there is what we call respectful, humane animal sacrifice as aspects of different rituals, different ceremonies. And the act of animal sacrifice is deeply connected to honoring the laws, to honoring the ancestors, and they're usually accompanied by prayers and songs and other types of rituals. And the animals are treated with care, they're treated with respect, and it's done really respectfully. Haitian voodoo is not the only religion that has animal sacrifice. If we go back and we look at certain other religions, let's say within the Native American spirituality, many tribes incorporate animal offerings as part of their ceremonies. So they may not be always kind of sacrificed in a casual manner, similar to Haitian voodoo. They are done as a solemn practice, as a solemn ritual. We see that also within the Andean spirituality. We see that there's animal sacrifice. Within Hinduism, there's certain sects within specific festivals where animals like goats and buffaloes are sacrificed, right? As part of a specific ritual to the various gods and goddesses. We see aspects of Tibetan Buddhism where there are aspects of animal sacrifice. We see in certain aspects of Judaism where there had animal sacrifice. We see within Islam there are also animal sacrifices. And if we look at some of the other sister religions within Santeria, Candomblé, and Umbanda, there are animal sacrifices. And there's probably others. There's probably many others. I kind of shared those, at a very high level. But again, Haitian voodoo is not the only religion that has this idea of humane animal sacrifice. So I wanted to really put that out there.
Aïe, bobo, bodou!
Aïe, bobo!
Aïe, bobo, bodou!
Aïe, bobo!
A nous marcher! Nous marchons pas loin de Taïwan. Nous marchons pas loin de Taïwan.
look at this idea of religions with conjuring practices. And when I think about conjuring practices, I think about the chanting, prayers, drumming, providing offerings, dances. These are common, right? These are commonplace activities within Haitian Vodou. And a lot of the activities is really geared towards summoning laws, right? That's an aspect. We're going to talk about ceremonies and rituals in a future season. But from a sake of perspective, there are sometimes there's sometimes efforts to demonize the idea of conjuring practices, right? Many traditions have individuals that may take possession. Sometimes it's called mounting by spirits, by laws. Many religions, they also invoke prayer and offerings as a way of mutual and respect and exchange for summoning divine laws. So we see that type of practice in other diasporic religions like Santeria and Condomble, or let's say in other African religions such as like within Yoruba, within Akan practices, they have similar threads of conjuring. So that is common. Again, that's not exclusive to just Haitian Vodou. But if we look across other world religions, you know, I go back to the Shinto religion of Japan. They also have similar conjuring practices for their kamis or spirits. If you look at Tibetan Buddhism, they also have aspects where they do what's called tantric rituals and ceremonies. They offer mandalas and chants as a way to invoke spiritual forces. And they have a number of spiritual, pretty much kind of have some of the spiritual summoning and some of the conjuring practices. We see within Australia, they have similar types of conjuring practices, which include song and chanting and sacred dances in order to connect with their spiritual deities. If we go back into ancient times, if we look at ancient Greek religions, there and many of them also had a number of their rituals and practices that focused on summoning spirits. So again, this is not exclusive to just Haitian Vodou. There are many, many religions that offer these types of conjuring practices as a common thread to the faith tradition. Another aspect of religions to consider when it comes to some narratives is this idea that Haitian Vodou is one where individuals do marry their laws, right? So we have what's called spiritual marriages. So when we think about spiritual marriages, I am going to do an episode in the future to kind of dive into this concept. Whether it's symbolic, it's metaphorical, or it's a literal marriages, there are other religions across the world that have what are called mystical unions, or they have spiritual marriages where individuals seek a heightened connection with the divine in some way, shape, or form. And these relationships, again, across religion, they really are seeking to create pretty much a mutual responsibility between an individual and their spiritual divinity, as a means to, kind of allow that person to connect more with their, that spiritual being. So we see this idea of, let's say, mystical unions or spiritual marriages. We see this actually in aspects of Christianity. So if we think about mysticism, one that I remember learning about in my last semester, was Saint Teresa of Avila. So that was one where we talked highly about her relationship with God and with Jesus, and being, her being kind of Jesus's bridegroom and having a symbolic union with Christ. right? And the purpose of that union was really about really total surrender, total devotion, right? And that was an aspect of a mystical union. We see this concept of mystical union or spiritual marriages in Islam, with specifically within the Sufi mystics. We see aspects of it, again, be it metaphorical or symbolic, but we do see this idea of being able to kind of surrender ego in the presence of the divine. If we look at Kabbalah, an aspect of Judaism, there is also talks of spiritual relationships between, the human and within aspects of various different divinities, whether it's, thinking about the how it's inspired through the union, the expressed union of feminine and masculine divinity. That's kind of similar within Hinduism, having kind of the masculine and feminine divinity, and that unity drawing inspiration towards greater devotion, greater union with the divine. So we see that in a number of different religions. It's really fascinating. I actually didn't realize how many religions had this concept of mystical unions, had this concept of spiritual marriages, until I started to really kind of do some research on it. So it was not just something that is unique to Haitian Vodou. Hope you're enjoying today's episode. Have a question, comment, or feedback? Feel free to send us an email at aguacedito@gmail.com. That's aguacedito@gmail.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.aguacedito.com for more information about past episodes, show notes, and more. Area that I wanted to cover when it comes to thinking about Vodou and how it compares. One question that we see circulating, and I see this from time to time on social media, is not necessarily a question, it's actually a comment. So there's this theory or this belief that a lot of the instability and the problems that is taking place in Haiti are a direct result of Vodou. So we've seen, whether you've seen other spiritual leaders mention this specific belief, you see that belief being shared across just a number of different people where there's this idea that the Haitian Revolution was a pact with the devil. And because of that pact, that is why the country is in the state that it is in today. And if we were to look at that specific belief from a comparative lens, let's delve into that for a moment. If Haitian Vodou was in fact the cause of Haiti's problems, isn't it safe to assume that other countries that also practice Vodou should be facing a similar sort of instability in some way, shape, or form? So it may not be, it may not manifest in the means of the instabilities that we see in Haiti, but we would see them in some way, shape, or form. So if we were to look at that assumption from a comparative lens, to me, that I would laser focus and laser zoom into Benin, right? So Benin, the Republic of Benin, former Dahomey Kingdom, which is the source of Vodou, right? That is where Haitian Vodou is derived from. Comparatively, we should be able to see that Benin is probably under a lot of turmoil as well. And on the contrary, when we look at Benin, the original country where Vodou comes from, Vodou is actually one of the country's main religions, and Benin continues to thrive. Actually, Benin as a country is seen as a model country in Africa when it comes to their infrastructure, when it comes to kind of the emerging development economically that the country is facing. And Benin, you know, when you think about it, Benin was founded as a republic, you know, within the 20th century. So this is a younger country and compared to maybe older countries. And here are some, you know, I pulled some interesting facts. Benin has an impressive record when it comes to their economic growth and their strategic positioning within Africa. So Benin, the home of Vodou, has some interesting facts, right? Benin's economy has experienced growth in terms of their GDP has expanded by 6.3% in 2022. And 6.35% in 2023, which surpass the world average of 3.34%. So they have doubled in terms of their GDP growth over the last couple of years. And we've seen that growth being driven by number of investments in various different infrastructure, different development projects. They have a thriving agricultural sector. Benin is actually emerging as Africa's leading cotton producer. We see that the country has made significant strides in digital innovation and e-governance. We see that the Benin's port of Cotonou is a critical gateway and trading hub within West Africa. It's one of the most important trading hubs within West Africa. Benin is also a leader in investing in renewable energy projects, specifically solar. We see that Benin, so not only they have agricultural, you know, they're leading in agricultural, in the agricultural sector, they're also, you know, leading a renewable energy. The World Bank has recognized Benin for implementing business reforms, for improving their regulatory environment. So we've seen there's been a lot of investments. Benin has actually been known for its political stability, right, in the area, and is a very attractive place for economic activity and for foreign investments. And I can not only say this in terms of what I've researched online, I have been to Benin. And I've seen the country with my own eyes, and it's a pretty amazing to see this emergence that I read about online, to see this in action. There are, you know, everywhere you turn, you see a lot of newly created buildings. You see a lot of emerging projects. You can see the investments that are being placed in this country. So it is a thriving economic space, which is, oh, by the way, the original country that Vodou comes from. So if one was to say, well, if Vodou is the cause of Haiti's problems, comparatively, we should see these similar problems in other countries that also have Vodou as a main practice, and we do not see that. So I think if you think critically, why would a faith tradition, we described over the last couple of episodes that Haitian Vodou is primarily focused on liberation, on healing, and balance with and harmony with nature, the divine, and the cosmos. How could a religion or a faith tradition that is focused on healing, liberation, balance, and harmony be the cause of the profound chaos and instability that we see that is taking place in Haiti, right? I think it's ironic that a country that's entire founding relied heavily on the spiritual strength of this faith, whose core essence is about liberation and balance, is facing such extreme conditions. You know, Haiti's problems are very complex. It is not just one reason, right? It is an entanglement of colonialism. It's an entanglement of the past, you know, kind of issues with slavery, with exploitation, with corruption, with the insecurity as a result of the gang violence there, the oppression that people have experienced there, the religious persecution, the infrastructure collapse, and the geopolitical interference. So, and I feel like I can keep going on and on and on about, you know, Haiti's problems, but it is not because of Vodou. Let's make that 1,000% clear. Haiti's problems are not because of specifically voodoo. It is because of all of these other issues that started as a result of the Haitian Revolution taking place at a time in the world where Black people were considered less than. And the interference that began from the genesis of that, of the founding of Haiti, has continued to erode to the point that we've seen here today. So again, it's not because of voodoo or because of a pact with the devil or any of that sort of thing. There is a lot more to Haiti's problems. But again, it is Haitian voodoo is not the problem. That is today's episode. I'm going to stop it right there because I feel like I can keep going on and on. And I feel like there's so much more that could be said there. But hopefully I've given you a gist of how to really look at Haitian voodoo as a legitimate faith system that is rooted in science. It's rooted in math. It's rooted in healing. It's rooted in liberation. It's rooted in balance. Thank you again for tuning in. We are going to close today's episode. Let's go ahead. I'm going to close it out with prayer. Thank you to the Almighty Creator, source of all life and breath. Thank you to all of the divine saints, spirits, and protectors who have walked with us in this sacred gathering. Thank you to the ancestral spirits in the East, West, North, and South. May your presence continue to guide us as we move forward. Thank you to the spirits of earth, water, fire, and air, both known and unknown, who sustain and balance us in every moment. Thank you to the ancestors of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, and our great-grandparents, whose wisdom and sacrifices have paved the way for our existence. Thank you to all of our ancestors, near and far. Thank you for encircling us with your love, your strength, and your internal guidance. We give gratitude for the unity we have shared and for the wisdom that has been revealed in this moment. We release ourselves into the world with your blessings, asking for your continued protection and guidance as we walk our path. We honor the thread that connects us all as children of this earthly realm and as spiritual beings beyond it. May the light of wisdom, the power of courage, and the bond of love remain with us as we part ways. May our hearts remain open, our minds remain clear, and our spirits remain strong to continue learning, growing, and thriving together. We affirm that all that is needed has been received. All that is to be learned will unfold. And all that is to be shared will bear fruit in time. Aibobo, agoago, bo, asao, alaso, Awoshenago, Jabodo, Afutai, Bilolo, Swakongo, Kwa Sen Bo. Thank you for tuning into the Agua Cerrito podcast. you for joining us on the Aguacerito podcast show. Together we honor our ancestors, embrace the beauty of Vodou, and step boldly toward liberation. If this episode resonated with you, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It helps us amplify the spirit of Haitian Vodou even further. Join us next week as we continue this journey to connect, inspire, and uplift. Until then, walk boldly with your spirits. And remember, the Aguacerito Show is not just a podcast. It is a vibration, a celebration, a path to freedom.